Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Hi, you're listening to the High Rollers D&D podcast. I'm your Dungeon Master, Mark Sherlock Humes.
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm playing Ayla, a wild elf barbarian.
I'm Tom. I'm playing Kilek Adkalar, an Arakokra bard slash cleric.
And I'm Kim. I'm playing Nova, who is an Air Ganassi, and she is a Hexblade Warlock.
I am Chris Trott. I'm playing Lucius Viren Elowin Elenastro, and I am a high elf sorcerer.
Hi, I'm Rhiannon. I'm playing Sentry. I am a guardian paladin.
Thanks to our sponsors, D&D Beyond and Brilliant.org. Let's begin our first episode in the world of Erois. Shall we begin?
Let's. I think so.
Yes, please. Yeah.
The skyship lurches and the world suddenly falls away and snaps back into place. A flash of light fills your groggy, sleep-addled vision, followed by a boom of thunder that rattles the ethereum-infused wood of the hull of the Sparrowblade. The cabins are dark and only the faint dim of starlight and the luminescent glow of the cradle provide any light. As you fully begin to awaken, you feel the airship rocking unevenly, swaying. You hear cracks of thunder and flashes of lightning outside, and what sounds like cries and shouts of battle above, and screams from below decks. What I would like is...
What?
Yeah. So, Quill, yourself and Sentry are sharing one bunk on the Sparrowblade, this airship that you are taking towards the city of Gusthaven. Mm-hmm. Nova and Ayla, you are also sharing a bunk. You've been traveling together on the trip so far. And Lucius, your bunkmate, you've not really spoken to them, but he is a dwarven fellow. You just know him. His first name is Arvel. And you all awaken as suddenly the airship lurches in place. You feel yourself staggered around for a moment. Perhaps your belongings shift ever so slightly in the room. You begin to hear these noises of battle outside and cries coming from down below. What would you like to do?
I was sucking my thumb.
Okay.
And cradling a little soft toy.
Okay. Aww.
When I was woken up.
So the toy actually fumbles out of your hands and skids to the floor.
Daddy!
What in blazes going on? The dwarf kind of looks around.
Sorry, Arvel.
What's going on?
I don't know, tell me.
Another flash of lightning outside, followed by this boom of thunder, and you feel the airship rattle once again.
Why is it moving so erratically?
In the flash of light, you can see that, apart from these flashes of light, you're struggling to see. Only those of you with dark vision can actually see fairly well currently.
Find Snubbles! Where's Snubbles?
What are you talking about?
My toy!
Nova and Ayla, what are you guys doing? So you are woken up by this like mid-sleep.
Yeah.
You don't know what time it is. It's pitch black, but you can feel that something is wrong with the ship.
So feeling that, like hearing the thunder and the lightning, Ayla's instinctively going to look at her own hands first. Just
it's not you.
She's just...
Nothing on your hands.
Nope.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Nothing
and
on
she's going to jump up and look around. Is Nova, are you still in bed? Are you?
I like to think that I would have woken up like really... undignified, just like, and I'm just cuddling one of my books, and I've probably just fallen on the floor.
Okay. So you kind of fall out of the bed as it lurches, because it's actually like tipping to the side every now and then as well. So you're almost thrown out of bed, the blanket kind of half wrapped around you.
I'm a mess.
She's just going to come over and just sort of pick you up. And, no, come on, you want to get that sword of yours, you're going to need it.
What? Why? No, books!
No, come on!
Put the book down.
Put me down.
Quill and Sentry, what about you guys?
Sentry.
You're right.
Lightning Sentry. Sentry?
Okay.
What's going on?
Sentry? I don't know.
Okay.
Are you okay?
No. You're okay.
I think I'm going to maybe send Echo out and maybe try...
Okay, so you're going to open the door and send him out? Okay. I'm guessing as well, Sentry, because you are a construct and you've kind of got this metal frame. I'm guessing you just have your armor on because you don't sleep. You just kind of power down. So you're full armor. Anybody else who wears armor, it depends on whether you would naturally sleep in it. Otherwise, you are in bed clothes. Like, this journey so far, you've been on this ship for maybe a few days. There's not been any reason for you to feel that you're in danger or anything like that, but whether you want to be in armor or not.
I've got pink satin pajamas.
Okay, just you're in pajamas.
With little sockies.
Clothes.
And okay. A hat with a bauble on the end.
Okay. So you, Sentry, go up to the door, and you don't have dark vision, do you?
No, I have.
So it's incredibly dim. You fumble around for a moment, and you manage to find the handle to this kind of airship's cabin door. You open it up, and you see kind of this dark corridor. But you do see that another door opposite yours has opened, and there is a woman with dark skin, wearing kind of plain sort of like nightdress.
Okay.
And she's kind of looking out, but she has a glowing holy symbol of a half circle with stars above it, which you would know is the symbol of Siaska, the Star Mother, the main goddess of Erois. And she's kind of hovering this light, kind of like peering down, like, what's going on? You can kind of see her looking around. And then Echo, your little kind of like flying ball of metal and wood with this purple gemstone, just kind of apparates out of your body and flies out into the corridor.
Okay.
And you're going to send him down, or are you just looking around outside?
I'm going to have a look around first,
okay.
See if I can see anything.
So you see this woman kind of like startled for a moment, but you recognize her as another passenger that's been on the ship, and she kind of looks at it as it kind of floats down. You can see that nothing seems to be wrong in this corridor. This is kind of like where the passenger quarters are. You're on a passenger deck of the airship. And it just stretches down. There are some restrooms, and then it goes into a larger space where you know the galley is.
Okay.
And in fact, I'll just reveal this on the map. So you can see that it kind of extends down. There is a staircase that leads down, and Echo, as you're kind of like focusing your mind and your hearing through Echo, from the stairs leading down to the below decks, you hear a blood-curdling scream, as in somebody being potentially attacked.
Okay.
You just hear this like, ah!
Okay, cool.
Wilhelm.
So is she blind and deaf?
So you, Sentry is like holding the door open, but it's like she's shut down. Like the doll in her kind of purple eyes has faded.
Okay.
And she's just focusing. Arvel, this dwarf, kind of like, you can see him stumbling around, and he's like putting on like a leather jerkin and things like that. He's just like, I don't know what that sound is, but it don't sound no good. And he goes over to his pack and pulls out what appears to be like a large crossbow. And he starts pulling out bolts
really?
And things like that.
You think
that.
It's turning to that already? Do we not have guards or something?
You're from the Sky Cities, ain't you, boy?
Yes, Gustave.
Must have heard of Sky Pirates before.
No. Only Daddy told me the secrets and the stories, right? They're not real.
He gestures and you hear, like, the sounds of battle. And the ship lurches once more. He's just like, sure don't feel like no stories, boy. And he begins like, heading up to the door.
I'm gonna,
he opens the door and like, rummage like, around starts looking around.
For my arcane focus that's on my hand.
Okay, so you get your like
slip it
gemstone.
On. It's basically a gemstone on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Loads of other little gemstones all
it's like a glove,
together.
But yeah, connected with metal and things
leather
like
strips,
that.
And I'll just like daintily like hold onto his shoulders and
mm-hmm.
push him
He's
forward.
Kind of like looking around, and you can see that he's an older dwarf, like maybe like middle-aged for his kind. So he's got streaks of grey in the beard. His tunic, like he's basically got like, he's managed to pull on trousers and a shirt and a vest, like a thick leather vest, but it's very finely embroidered and well-made, and he's got like rings and necklaces on. And he looks quite wealthy.
I'm so thankful that you're here, Arvel. You can protect us, right?
Shh, keep it down,
okay.
Boy.
Nova and Ayla.
Yeah, so because I can see better, I've got dark vision, so mm-hmm. I'm going to go up to the door, I'm going to grab my war hammer, so make sure that I've got that, and look out the door, and I'm guessing I see Lucius opposite.
Well, you see this dwarf kind of hunched down, looking down, he kind of gives you a nod, and you see Lucius above him. You also see Echo floating around, you see this flying metal ball hovering around, and then you also see, just poking her head out of the other door, if you can move that to the other door for me. This dark-skinned woman kind of holding this holy symbol, and that is creating some light in the corridor. She's kind of, like, looking down, like...
It's otherwise quite dim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I see his ridiculous pajamas?
Of course you can.
Oh, nice pajamas, pretty boy.
Oh, thank you.
Really, really great. That's going to help us.
I don't think now's the time to talk about fashion, but
okay.
I appreciate
it. I'm just going to start walking down the hall.
Oh, good. More muscle.
You start walking down, the dwarf kind of comes out and follows behind you. I've got a mini for Arvel as well, if you can move that down. But the woman kind of is just like, what's going on? Are you aware of what's happening?
No, but I'm going to find out. You want to come?
She like looks back in the room, and as you're passing by, you probably notice that you can see inside the room there is another man wearing similar kind of robes, and he's kind of like sat on a bed, and you can see he's got another one of these holy symbols with a light kind of emanating from it. And next to him is a girl, maybe about 14 or 15. She's got long dark hair. She's kind of wearing like basic like night clothes, just like a kind of ragged shirt. And she's kind of like looking around, like they seem to be whispering. And the woman who's been speaking to you just turns back and she's like, Corin, stay there with Vala. I'm going to go with these. And he's like, be safe.
I'm going to turn and say, Sentry, could really use that axe right now, buddy.
Nice.
So you snap out of it.
Snap out of it.
So he just bobs. Back. Yeah, he just kind of bobs next to you.
Cool, I grab my axe and I go with Ayla.
Okay. So Quill, you watch Sentry.
Behind Sentry.
Another...
We really have to get into combat now.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Do we have to? We don't have to, right?
What's happening?
It's optional.
Does anyone know what's happening? What's
going on? It's not optional, pretty boy. It's not optional.
Well, it looks like you two have it quite figured out.
We need to keep you guys safe.
Yes, yes, excellent. Thank you, Sentry. Okay. I love that.
It might be better if you stay back, Scout.
Oh, I'll stay right back. Right at the back.
You're going to be a problem, I can tell.
Nova!
I'd like to think that at this point all you can hear is like some thumps and cursing from our room, and I'm just trying to get dressed. Like, damn it! God damn it! Where am I? Ah,
there's something in that room! Boop. There's something in that room over there!
And then I'll literally just fall out backwards.
Let's see. So now that you're all gathered, why don't we just really quickly, although things are tense, just give, especially for people who might be listening on audio podcasts, just give a verbal description of what you look like. We'll start with Ayla because you're in the lead.
Oh, okay. So Ayla, she has got long, sort of very vibrant, fiery red hair. She's got lots of braids in it, sort of very Vikings kind of style. She's quite muscular. She is a wild elf, so she's more muscular than, say, Lucius is as a high elf. She's sort of in just sort of leathers, and she's got a bit of tartan strapped to her belt as well.
And you've got a massive warhammer.
And a massive warhammer.
Okay. Quill?
I am a brown feathered bird Arakocra with one large wing coming out of a cloak, but the other wing is missing and covered over by a red cloak.
Okay.
But I'm relatively short. I'm actually probably shorter than most of the people in the party. And I'm just sort of carrying behind Sentry a little
he's
bit.
He's got more of a falcon kind of face.
Yeah, right? Peregrine Falcon, Blythe Falcon Hawk.
Okay.
Oh! There you go.
Yeah. Find.
What does Nova look like for us, Kim?
She's pretty young. She has star freckles. She's blue, being an Air Ganassi. Kind of tousled hair, like, I don't know, like fluffy clouds. Mm-hmm. And she's dressed in a sort of, almost like a uniform.
Lots of pouches and scrolls.
Lots of pouches, scrolls, books, writing equipment. Like, she's more of a scholar than a fighter.
But you can see the main thing with Nova is, despite the scholarly appearance, she has this very long, elegant, almost alien-looking longsword. It kind of has these very weird blue curves to it. And it doesn't look like anything made on Erois.
And she does not know how to use it.
Yeah. Lucius.
I am a very classical-looking high elf with big pointy ears, very pale skin, platinum blonde hair. Mm-hmm. But the unique thing about me is I've got two different completely solid-coloured eyes. One is blue and one is orange. I'm wearing very elegant noble clothing that's usually purple. Right now it's pyjamas with a tall collar and a cape that goes over one shoulder that's kind of like a half cape and a sash. And I'm full of gems and colours and silk gloves.
Yeah, magic. Sentry?
Cool. I am a like a robot almost looking being. I'm really tall. I'm sort of very silvery, and I have a green sort of tarp over my body. I have like vines in my hair with flowers growing out of it because I'm really old. And then I have a massive shield and a nice sort of dainty but really powerful looking battle axe.
Okay. So as you're making your way down this corridor, it is pitch black with only this faint glimmer. And the light being given off of this priestess's holy symbol is almost like starlight. It's very silvery, very dim, but very faint. And as you begin kind of slowly making your way down the corridor, those of you who are moving, you hear and feel a sudden, from maybe at the back end of the ship, further than where you are currently headed, there is an explosion. You kind of almost feel like this ragged bolt of force as you're kind of jostled around, things fall over, you can hear boxes being toppled in nearby rooms, and everybody's kind of thrown. There is a faint scream from the girl, the younger girl in the rooms behind you, and yeah, you just kind of feel this rocking force as it kind of lurches for a second.
I probably trip over Nova.
All
over.
Sure, you can be prone.
You're very heavy. Get off.
Yes, you should see me with my full clothes
on. I am going to keep pushing forward.
So basically, yeah, just keep moving forward so you can go down. You pass what appear to be a bunch of restrooms.
Okay.
You can see that they're marked for men and women. And yeah, there seem to be like short little kind of like cabins where there is obviously, you know, the necessities. But as you begin making your way down, you see this dark set of stairs and it is pitch black down there. Even with your dark vision, like there is a heavier darkness. Like you can still see into it, but you can tell that, you know, there's no light down there whatsoever. You'd be completely without any light whatsoever. But the screaming from down there has stopped. But you can still hear the signs of battle above you, which is the main deck of the airship.
So do we hear anything at all from below now, or is it silent?
You can make a perception check for me.
First roll.
Whoa, that's a good one.
Nice.
21.
So you strain your hearing, and you kind of let your senses adjust, and you kind of almost try and place yourself back in the forests and the coast where you grew up when you'd be hunting wild game. And you clench the Warhammer tightly as you strain, and just ever so faintly from deep down below you, you can hear this kind of almost like metal on metal like scraping, and just this like a heavy breathing. It's just like almost scratching on wood. And then you also notice something else. Out the corner of your eye, just coming round the corridor, you'd see two shadowy looking figures. They appear to be wearing thick black leathers. They have full hoods with completely full face masks, like completely encased with almost like a skull-like grimace. And they're wearing these thick leather tunics with big, long, thick black cloaks. They kind of stoop round and you just kind of catch them and you have this moment where like they seem to be looking at you, although you can't tell with these full masks, and you're looking at them. And then you just hear one of them just go like,
"Looks like some of them are awake. Let's finish them off."
And that's going to be initiative roll, please.
All of us?
Everybody, please.
Okay.
So, Ayla.
Eight.
Quill.
17.
Nova.
I'm trying to find my initiative.
It's at the top.
Should be at the top.
Getting
used to D&D Beyond, but we'll get there. Lucius.
18.
18. Sentry.
I'm trying to find my initiative. Which one's
so
that
should
one?
Be...
just add initiative deck, so it's just plus zero.
It should be on there somewhere, shouldn't it? Oh, yeah. Just add your deck modifier.
Okay, cool. That's three.
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 Solid.
Yeah.
Slow robo body. So, Lucius, you would normally be going first, but one of... you hear the woman at the back, this kind of priestess, just kind of makes her way out, and she just seems to be following the crowd. She's basically unaware of what's going on, so she just makes her way, and she'll move down the corridor to around about where Sentry is. And she just kind of is... She looks towards you, Sentry, and is like, "I'm so glad that we have a guardian with us. At least, I'm hoping that the crew can take care of this." And then by that point, we move on. Lucius.
Terribly sorry.
Get off of me!
How uncouth!
Ow!
I get up and I just start.
I just to see what's going on. Arvel! Arvel!
Shut your mouth. Keep quiet.
Sorry.
And you're just going to move up there?
Yep.
Quill.
I don't know what's going on.
So you see Ayla. You don't have dark vision, do you?
I don't have dark vision, but I there have is some 20 light. Passive perception. Can I hear those guys?
I would say that you hear that voice. You hear that, like, "Looks like some of them are alive.
Okay,
let's finish them off."
In that case, I would like to cast Shield of Faith on Ayla.
So you're gonna, now is that touch or is that a range?
It's a range, 60 foot.
Okay.
So you get +2 to your AC.
So you hear, let's kill them, and then there's just like this sudden realization.
Hesper, protect that one!
So you hold out the wing and you utter a small prayer.
Yep.
And what does the shield, what does it look like? Does it have a particular
look? As I like swing my wing round, some white shimmering sort of ethereal feathers also spray out from that. And I guess they coat round Ayla.
And they just like float around.
And I guess then vanish
into
like some sort of invisible shield that's around her.
I remember it's concentration.
It's a concentration for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Also, I would then like to sort of whisper to Ayla and just say, I'm sure you've got this one.
Yeah, thanks, bro boy.
And does that count as a...
as a bardic inspiration?
As a bardic inspiration.
I'm sure you've got this one.
I'm sure you've got this one. I feel very inspired by that, Tom Hazel.
You've got it.
Magic.
But yeah, that's your bonus action.
And then I've got bardic inspiration. Oh, that was two bonus actions I just did then.
Oh, it's Shield of Faith bonus
action.
Yeah,
sorry, ignore that.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that.
You just give us some verbal inspiration. Some mechanical inspiration.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So
at the end of your turn, Quill, one of them one of them turns to the other and is like,
they have a spellcaster, I'll deal with them.
And you watch as he basically tries to run up the side of the wall and
Lucius, jump
past
they know you're here!
Ayla. Well, that depends on how well he manages to run along the wall.
Run along the wall?
So you watch as he kind of kips up and the ship almost seems to lurch as he then begins running along the side.
Oh my god.
He bounces off. Ayla, you go to swing, but it's just so fast that you kind of judge that. He lands and he throws a dagger in the direction of what he thinks is Quill, but it's probably going to hit Sentry instead.
Okay. Can I use my reaction?
Well, this is going for you. It's not going for Quill, so it's just going to target you directly.
Right.
That is going to be an 18 to hit.
Ooh.
And I need a d4. Such an unprepared dungeon master.
Lucy is 18, isn't it?
So you take five points of damage, minus one because of your royal shield, so you'll take four points. So this dagger kind of flies forward and you manage to bring up the shield, but the kind of shock kind of knocks a bit of the wind out of you, and this dagger kind of like thuds in, and he looks.
There's more of them back here.
Jeez. Yeah. The corner.
Oh no.
Oh shit.
So that was one of their dynamic combat actions.
Christ.
So after Quill, we then have.
Was that custom?
Maybe. Arvel is like, what in the blazes are they? And he's just like, Evangeline, don't fail me now. And he pulls up this like heavy looking crossbow.
Oh, has an M, cute.
And he's like, get, and he shoves Quill to kind of the side and he raises it up.
Who names the crossbow?
It's a very nice name.
He does the crossbow kind of like, flies out and you watch it. It sails past quite expertly between yours and the woman next to you and thuds into the guy's side.
Well, great shot. I'm so impressed.
Thanks, kid.
Nice.
And yeah, you kind of hear like this as it thuds in, and you can see the guy's kind of like bleeding from like some sort of wound that he's been dealt. However, the other assailant then fully steps round and he kind of locks eyes with Ayla. He holds out his hand like a free hand, and a blade of black energy just. And then he runs in.
Oh, no!
Runs in with a strike.
No.
Level 2!
TPK!
Speak yourself, I'm at the back.
So, because it is dim light, he has advantage.
He has advantage in dim light?
Yeah.
Can I use my reaction on this one?
You are not within 5 feet of her, sadly.
Right.
You've got to be next to her to be able to do it.
I need to protect
you. That is going to be a 23 to hit.
That will maybe hit.
Just.
So that's going to be... So that's going to be 15 psychic damage.
15 damage?
Jeez.
What?
As this blade, it doesn't, like, it just passes through your armor, and it passes through the magic shield, and you don't feel a cut, but it's just, you're racked with pain as this blade, like...
Jesus Christ.
So that took, like, a lot of... It doesn't work against psychic damage, does it?
It doesn't, no.
It's only
if you're a bear barbarian, and then even then psychic still affects you.
Yeah.
So you watch as this guy kind of like runs in and kind of samurai style, he swipes you with a blade, and for a second you don't feel it, and then your just body is just like, like racked with pain. After him, let me just take these off.
That hurt a lot.
So we have Nova.
I mean, So once I kind of stumble upright, can I see this guy? Do I recognize him?
You would recognize these. Okay. You've encountered these kind of figures before, but these, you've never seen them summon, like, you know, watching the kind of thing you have. Do you have dark vision?
No.
Then you don't see the blade of energy, but you see the one that jumped forward and threw the dagger, and you just recognize the mask more than anything. These are the ones that you encountered in the shuttle.
Can I tell, like, kind of who they're coming for, maybe? Or, like, no?
You can give me an insight check, sure.
Okay. Natural one!
There's a moment where you want to try and figure it out, but your mind is taken back to that panicked flight through the abandoned shuttle, this kind of ancient derelict magical ship where you found Tiangong, and all you remember is the fear of, like, these guys chasing you, and it just overwhelms you for a second.
Okay, I probably can't Eldritch Blast, can I? Because there's just too many people.
No, you can. Yeah, you can. He might get some cover from it, though.
Okay, I'm gonna Eldritch Blast then. I'm just gonna kind of, once I stand up and look and go, oh no, and just try and.
Okay, so how does it look when you do your Eldritch Blast? Does, like, do you see the blade shimmer, or do you just summon it from your hands? Or?
I think, yeah, the blade would glow first, so you and then like, just shoot it out on my hands. Yeah,
okay.
The same color as the blade.
It's this bluish, kind of glowing blue energy.
Cool.
So that's a 7 to hit.
7? Unfortunately, like, with the... Not only is it just the cover, but this guy, he kind of, like, the skull mask snaps up, and he dodges to the side as this, like, energy barrier launches past. Doesn't seem to...
That's all I can do for now.
Doesn't seem to do anything. At the end of your turn, the one that just hit Ayla is actually going to try and do the same thing of he kind of, like, leaps over you and is going to try and run along the wall. Let's see if he does it. However, this time he doesn't do it quite adeptly enough that he avoids the attack of opportunity.
He avoids it?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't avoid it, so he gets it.
Oh, and he's also jumped right up. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Oh, Christ.
Is that from Sentry as well?
Just from Ayla. It's just from the person he disengages.
24 to hit?
Yes, that hits him. So as he leaps up, this time you're ready for it, you swing the hammer in a large arc.
9 points of damage.
9 points. Sweet. So this one, boom, you feel the blow connect, but he still manages to keep running with the momentum. But as he lands, he kind of stumbles awkwardly, spins around, and now holds up this kind of energy blade in front of him.
Christ.
Don't like that.
The one that had jumped in front of you, Sentry, the one that threw the dagger, you see him, like, now he holds up his hand and... In fact, I have to make a concentration check for the one you just hit, but he passes it. This energy blade comes in, and he goes goes to strike at you with it. So that is going to be a... 10 points of advantage. That's going to be a 19 to hit.
Oh, no.
What's your AC?
My AC is...
So it's on combat. So you want to hide that down.
18.
So he does hit you, unfortunately. For 11 points of psychic damage.
Right.
And again, you feel this, even though, like, your body is made of wood and metal and stone, you still feel in your matrix, you feel this agonizing pain, like, kind of course through your body.
Okay.
As he leaps over.
Jeez. Okay. Not like that.
Pain. Ayla. It's your
I don't
turn.
Like these guys. I'm just gonna smack the one that's right beside me then, because he's right here.
Mm-hmm. So you turn on the one that's now currently facing Sentry, and you can see he's aware of you.
Ah, it's only 12 to hit.
And you did not state that it was going to be a reckless attack beforehand. So this time you go to swing, and you think you've got him because he's turned away from you, but he kind of spins around at the last second and then puts his foot on the hammer, almost kind of trying to keep it to the ground.
Oh, wow.
Looks like he's ready to try and strike at you. Sentry.
Cool. All right, I'm getting real, real... anxious. I want these guys to be gone. real quick.
I would say that actually as well, Sentry, you would also recognize these guys because they wear an outfit. It's not the same, but this is very similar to what the forces of Starbane wore during the war.
Christ, so
these look very similar to these ancient enemies.
Starbaners?
So I'm ready to go. Cool.
I wouldn't know who these are.
Can I cast...
And I know that the audience won't know who Starbane is, but that's part of the mystery of it all.
Yeah.
We'll find out in time.
Over the next 2 years.
Cool. So what would you like to do, Sentry?
Can I cast Thunderous Smite and get the guy between me and Ayla?
Yes, absolutely you can. Fantastic. So Thunderous Smite, read this out.
Bonus.
So the first time you hit a melee weapon attack during the spell's duration, your weapon rings with thunder that is audible within 300 feet of you, and the attack deals an extra 2d6 of thunder damage to the target.
Perfect. Perfect. So it's a bonus action, roll, yeah. So you use your bonus action to cast it, and now you make your normal weapon attack.
I know what she's about to do, so I like...
Yeah, well, here it is, so
you're doing a normal battle axe attack.
Yep. Okay,
so it's one d20.
One wing covers one ear.
11 plus 5, 16.
That is enough. You kind of bring the hammer down, bring the battle axe in, you kind of raise up the shield.
Like purple glowing.
Your eyes glow purple, and the blade kind of hums with the same purple energy, and then the battle axe comes smashing into this creature. So roll the normal battle axe damage, and then this one is...
1d8 plus 3. To
and
begin
then an extra
with.
2d6.
Nice.
So it's a die with that one.
Yep.
And you also add
and then you
the
also
smite.
Add, I'll give you an extra d6 for this. You might as well roll them all together.
Nice.
And then plus 3 to this.
Whoops.
Ooh.
12, 8.
She
that was full damage.
Quick roll.
Oh my god.
Wow,
20 plus 23.
23 points of damage.
Yeah.
What? So you watch as Sentry brings up this axe and you're kind of seeing how dangerous these things are and recognizing them as this ancient enemy that once attacked your home. The weapon hits, the body kind of shudders, and Ayla, you have to leap out of the way as this kind of and the body is thrown flying backwards down the stairs. Like it's literally like
Ayla's just gonna go, I love you! That was amazing!
You just see the head of the other one snap back, just kind of expressionless mask, just doesn't say anything. So,
oh my God, what a
get
first
out
turn.
Of here!
You see the the priestess woman next to you just kind of like looks at you, kind of stunned. But then, as she begins to hear the one behind you, this kind of master assailant moving, she turns around. She holds up the symbol. She takes like some deep breaths. She's like, Siaska, please. And you watch as this kind of silvery flame appears in her hand, and she casts Sacred Flame. So that is. Does anybody have that spell that can just tell me what it is?
I don't actually have it. I can find it though.
D&D Beyond.
Yes. Maybe D&D Beyond could help
Sacred.
Us.
Sacred.
Thank you. I didn't have that prepared.
There we go. Do you want to have a read? Is it that one? Oh, that's Sacred Flame.
Thank you very much, Rihanna.
Dex saving throw 1d8 radiant.
Oh.
Dex saving throw 1d8 radiant.
Okay, there we go. He's got it.
Yeah, you just make sure you can get back to your character.
No
sheet.
Problem.
Dex saving throw, so he, unfortunately this time he kind of like leaps to the side as this kind of silvery star like tumbles past him. But you can see she's trembling with her hands, but she's kind of like holding out this symbol, almost trying to ward him off. Lucius, what would you like to do?
So crikey!
You watch as he kind of swipes around,
I'm going to throw out from my arcane focus an ice knife. So it coalesces into a point and then I fling it forward.
Okay.
As a dagger.
And so
how does this work?
So make a spell attack.
17 plus 5.
That's going to hit him.
And then it's 2d8. I'll double check that.
I believe it's a d8 piercing damage and then it does cold damage if he fails a save.
Also.
But if you just tap on the spell, it will bring it.
Yeah, yeah. So ice knife, it is. 1d10 piercing.
Apologies. Oh, nice.
Hit or miss, the shard explodes. So that was a one.
Oh, no.
So you watch this.
It
kind of
floats.
The ice arrow, the ice knife, like you throw out this bolt of nice. This bolt of ice. And it kind of. You'll get used to that, by the way, new viewers.
Markisms.
I do that a lot. You watch as this blade of ice just kind of cuts through his armor, but it just barely nicks him. But as it goes past him, it then.
So, he, Quill, Arvin, has to make a dex saving throw.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm RPing this, I'm sorry.
Well, Arvel fails.
Also,
okay.
My blue eye.
I know.
It's going to glow.
You can do that on creatures you choose.
Okay, like, so it will happen on him.
It can't be the same creature, but there's no other things to target, so you can just... Not.
Okay, it was just one more.
I got 18.
18, so I'm assuming that's a pass plus your save.
Yes.
So Arvel fails, and then he, I'll roll that properly, also fails, actually.
So he'll take one. Oh, if the attack hits, the creature takes 3d8.
3d8.
Is it meant to hit and then explode?
Oh my goodness.
It hit or miss, it explodes.
Oh wait,
like
that's the wrong one, sorry. It's the wrong one. 2d6. 2d6. now. Is it too easy? I'll just borrow yours.
Yeah, go for it.
Hope I get really high rolls. 6.
Okay. So you watch as this ice kind of explodes outwards. It covers Arvel, who's like, ah! And
he
like,
so terribly sorry.
Quill, you managed to kind of like shield it away. But he's also struck by it, and you can see that these shards of ice are now embedded into his side as he kind of stumbles back.
I've only done this against trading dummies before. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Arvel's just like, whimpering to the side. Quill.
Okay, I don't like that he is so close to me, so I am going to use Gust. I swing a wing and a huge wave of...
What is your spell save DC?
My spell save DC says strength 13 on here.
Yes, it's a 13. I fail. Okay. So what happens?
So he is pushed 5 feet away from me, so I just push him back up a bit.
Okay.
He's back.
So you kind of like sweep the wing out and this whoosh kind of launches him down the corridor.
And I will move to the basically what is now the back line, which was the front line.
So you kind of squeeze through past Sentry and this woman in the priestess robes.
Yes, and with a bonus action, I'm going to cast Healing Word on Ayla.
Yay!
Okay, nice.
So 1d4 plus 2.
Tom Hazel's not used to low levels. He's burning through spell slots like they're going out of business.
I know, that's two of them already. So you've just regained 5 HP.
5 HP.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm doing my job.
Yay!
What's that like?
What?
You wouldn't know!
So Arvel, seeing this one next to him, he's like, ah! He kind of slings this crossbow behind his back. You can see it's kind of got like a strap that he slings over his shoulder. He just pulls out what appears to be just like a club out of his belt. Like kind of like a
look, I said I was sorry.
He's like, I'll deal with you later. And then he's like, goes in to smash this guy in the back. He's like, damn sky pirates. I'll roll that properly. 19 to hit.
Oh, wow. What
so a whopping 4 points of damage, but that is, you watch as like he probably cracks the back of his leg and you hear like something kind of like stumble as the guy's like, ah,
oh, what a guy.
You'll pay for that, dwarf.
And as he kind of turns around and you can see Arvel's just like, yeah, you can pay for a lot of things, like new fucking crossbow bolts.
Nice.
He just shoves him sort of in the back. However, it is then after him, it is the assailant's go. He turns on Lucius, who he saw the ice knife come from.
Take anything you want!
You watch as his black blade kind of just shimmers out of existence. He's just then going to turn around and he kind of sees that the situation is quite bad. He is going to bonus action teleport to the end of the corridor.
No!
So you watch as he kind of like darkness kind of envelops him.
No!
And then he appears like next to Nova. He looks down on you, doesn't seem to like really regard you, but instead he holds out his arm and you watch as a bolt of lightning just like launches outwards.
What, down the entire hallway?
What's that? No, not down the entire hallway. I'm not going to hit you guys with a third level spell.
That was going to hit everybody if you did that.
Corridors.
Oh, no, this one seems to target just Lucius.
Oh yeah, just Lucius.
Yes.
Oh good.
Oh my goodness. That's fine.
So, can you please... Oh, no, this is me. I make a ranged spell attack bonus. But, however, that is only an 8. You dodge. You kind of, like, fall down, I guess, maybe.
Yes.
Like, you kind of just collapse as this, like bolt of lightning just kind of arcs off and bounces. But you can see the charge is still in his hand.
So there's no residual half damage.
No, and he just looks. He's just like, even if you kill me, none of you are leaving this ship alive.
Why? Do I get an attack of opportunity on him for like zipping into my...
No, teleport face. Doesn't provoke, unfortunately. However...
Why are you so mean?
It is your go now, Nova.
Okay. I'm just going to be like, boop! I see you appears behind me. I'm going to say...
Stay out of the way, Ganassi.
Why are you here?
He just looks down at you.
Okay.
Doesn't say anything.
I'm just going to shout. Can I still shout at everyone?
Yeah.
Court of Shadows! Court of Shadows! Court of... He's with the Court of Shadows! And then Hex.
Unless you are super old or into history, you won't know what that is.
Nah, no idea. I'm surrounded by idiots!
Eldritch Blast. So he is right next to you, so it will be at disadvantage.
What? Okay.
Yep. Or you 13. Could, yeah, because he's in melee range.
Can I...
13?
You're quite intelligent, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Carry on, Kim. I'll answer your question in a moment,
Can I Hex
Lucius.
Him as well? Like, so bonus action Hex, and then
yes, bonus action first, and then you take the action. So you cast Hex.
Yep.
Okay, so it's one of your spell slots. Uh-huh. So you Hex him. Pick one of his stats that he has disadvantage on skill checks.
I would like to Hex his
dexterity. Okay, so you kind of you watch again. The blade pulses for a second. And then you watch as kind of like almost like bands of this blue energy kind of like start ensorcelling his limbs. And you can see he's kind of like sluggish looking around. And then what would you like to do for your action, Nova?
Can I move back or will he heal
you? You can disengage, yeah, but that's your full action
to
do.
That's my full action, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Screw it, I'll just try and blast him.
Okay, so disadvantage.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
No, because it's so close, you try and bring the hand round, but he sees what you're doing and just kind of almost grabs your arm, shoves it against the wall as it's just like this blast just echoes around. And you feel that connection with the blade, and you just kind of this one word, just wield. You just hear this kind of like in your mind.
Okay.
After Nova, it is, he's dead. Ayla.
No, I have only cost one.
Yeah.
And great.
That's just kind of why he did it.
You're
not raging yet, are you?
I've only cost Hex. I can only get to here.
Yep. You could throw the hammer at him.
Could I
You'd be
move
a disadvantage
up?
If you threw it. Oh, yeah, you could move up. What'd you like to do?
Can I try and throw the hammer? No.
Yeah, if you move up as close.
Then I don't have the hammer.
You have fists. The true barbarian way.
And a face.
He does look, I will say, he looks quite injured. Like, you can see he's holding, like, where he's been wounded multiple times. He's got all these ice shards, like, literally, like, big shards of ice sticking out of his side.
Oops.
So does Arvel.
No, I think I'll hold, and if he comes within distance of me, I will.
Okay, so you're just readying yourself and you're going
to
hold your action.
To him.
Okay, sentry.
Awesome. I think. So Ayla there, Nova's there. I think I want to stay at the back, protect, but the three of these guys.
Okay.
So I think what because is his name Arvel?
Yes, yep. The dwarf.
I think he's been hurt, so yes. I think I want to protect him.
Okay.
And the guys at the back.
Okay.
So can I cast? Shield of Faith on Arvel and then just move up between him and Lucius.
Yeah, absolutely. So you kind of summon the magic that was imbued into your matrix and you kind of touch Arvel and you watch as again this kind of thing and he's like, what did you just do? And he's like looking around and he just kind of like looks at you startled, but then he kind of just brings the crossbow, he kind of gets his crossbow back out and starts reloading it and he's like looking at you curiously.
Nice.
So first turn attack. Second turn, protect.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I protect, I also attack.
the sister that's seen all of this go on, she will kind of step up behind you because she saw you get hit, and she's going to lay her hand. She's like, Guardian, I don't know if this will work, but I hope that it will. And she's going to cast Cure Wounds for 8 hit points.
Nice.
And you feel like the wood of your kind of like form begin to knot and rebind as your damage begins to heal.
Awesome.
Quill. Lucius, actually.
Now don't be hitting nobody else. Hit the bad guy.
You're making me nervous.
Firebolt.
Okay.
Attack.
Spell attack for you.
Yep. So that is plus 5. No. 7.
You're making me nervous.
And you watch as like it hits the wooden ceiling of the ship.
No.
And
just...
begin to like burn a little bit.
Not good. Arvel, use one of your shards in your leg and put it out.
he's like, I don't want to look up right now. I don't want to see it. I don't want to deal with it.
Point out, it is no longer Juto setting things on fire.
Well,
again, it's you.
Okay, I am going to. I'm gonna. I can't really get into range to get to 15 feet away from him. So
you can move through friends, it's just difficult terrain.
Yeah, it's just too far away for me where I am now. I will move up to behind Sentry, place a hand on her and give her guidance.
Okay.
You can roll a d4 to add that to a number to any ability check of your choice.
Oh, nice, thank you.
Arvel.
For one round.
For one round. Mm. Arvel's just like... You can... yeah, he's reloading this turn because he hit him last turn, so that's what Arvel's doing. The assailant is going to... You can still see this charge. He's going to... He threw his dagger. Doesn't have his lightning thing. He's cast that. Yeah, he's just going to... With the witch bolt, he's going to try and lash out again, I think.
At me?
Yep, but this time again, the bolt just... he'd probably go for Ayla, actually. But it doesn't matter, I rolled a two. So you watch as he goes to do this, and you almost like laugh as you see this kind of lightning bolt, but it just kind of goes wide. It almost seems to arc away from you.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Oh, wow.
As it hits into the side of the wall.
I wish it did.
Okay,
Nova.
No, it doesn't.
It just doesn't.
I just like lightning.
Okay, cool. I'm going to be like... And just very nervously bring Tiangong out.
So you kind of pull this sword, and you're kind of holding it like awkwardly. It's like clearly... You're kind of holding it in a weird way.
Ayla's judging really hard right now.
I'm a scholar, I'm not a fighter.
I'm looking in awe.
Oh, wow. 20,
20, 20, 20,
23.
So you watch, she doesn't look like she knows what she's doing, and then suddenly she snaps forward, she feints high, and then cuts down low like an expert swordsman.
What?
How much?
8.
8 points of damage. You watch as the blade slices through the leather armor like it wasn't there, leaving this blue trail, like almost like a nebula behind it. And then his body just splits.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
That was amazing, but also awful.
I just wanted him to stop.
You need to use that more often. Really, really.
I can't look.
You do look bravery. A little bit weird when you use it, though. We're going to work on that.
I'm going to run back to the stairs and look down them to see if the first guy is actually dead. And I guess I'll see him crumple.
You
before.
See darkness.
Oh, there's nothing down there. Okay.
No.
I mean, I can't see it.
It's pitch black and right. Your dark vision, literally, you don't have any. So it's just pitch blackness.
We're still in initiative.
I imagine this one's dead.
You are not initiative. Arvel is like, now are these things going to melt out of me or what? He's just like,
I've never done it on a human before. Dwarf.
What does that mean?
It's usually training dummies or bags of sand. I'm sorry.
It's not the first time I've been mistaken for a bag of sand. Oh, somebody. sister, please. And you watch as the priestess woman is like, I'll deal with you in a second, dwarf, please. I must check on my charge. And she's going to go back to the back room. She like looks in, she's like, Corin, is she all right? Yes, she's fine, she's fine. I thought that thing was going to come in here.
Can I very tentatively I don't know. I like go to shut his eyes, but realize he's wearing a mask.
It's a mask. Yeah, it's like this.
Yeah, and then I want to start searching him like desperately, like for any orders or like anything.
Yeah. So you search over the body, and you find he's got like this toughened black leather armor underneath the cloak, a dagger that he threw, and then you see that he has like a leather cuff with a small charm, like an electrum charm. It's probably worth about 5 silver. It's just like a little kind of like, like a little charm of a sword.
Is there anything to identify, like, maybe who he's...
Look at them. Oh, okay. Not really. The only reason you even know what they are is because you've encountered them before.
Can we still hear fighting and screaming? Yeah.
Yes, from above you, yes. Above. And you can also begin... The fire that you hit does die out. Like, it was just like a little spark that kind of like... But it doesn't take hold. But there is the sound of... You can hear, like, crackling flames coming from, like, above. You still hear the thunderstorm going on outside, and the ship is still lurching. All of you, you're Sky Citizen, so you come from the Sky City, so you've probably been on an airship before. The rest of you, if you can make perception checks for me, actually. Lucius, you don't need to make this.
Okay.
11.
11?
17.
Unnatural 20.
Natural 20.
Nice. Unnatural 20.
Perception...
11. So those of you who got above 15 and Lucius, you now that this kind of immediate danger's out of the way, and although you've been feeling the ship lurch and tilt, it's now the first time that you've realized that the ship is descending very quickly. It's not dropping out of the sky, but you imagine it is going down. Like, the ship is crashing. It's just doing it at a point where it's not nosediving. It's just kind of going in a steady descent down.
Friends, and by that I mean Sentry and you other guys. We're going down.
I know. Yes.
What do you mean?
The ship, it's going down. We are going down. We're going to crash.
It's sort of very.
Why do these things exist? They're stupid.
They're beautiful, but yes, it's going down.
Court of Shadows.
I don't care.
He's from the Court of. It's Kallus and Starbane's forces.
Where do you... I agree. Where does this thing... Where's the controls for this thing? Fix it. Fix it.
Controls.
The rest of them don't seem to notice, but you notice that when you say that, the priestess kind of like her eyes go wide, but she doesn't say anything. The dwarf is just like, what? That doesn't... We need to figure out. The captain, she must be up on the top deck of the ship. She'll know what's going on.
That's where all the fighting is. But what else can we do?
He just looks.
I say that's all we can do. Right, keep fighting. Yeah. Come on, guys.
All right, I'll follow you.
So you guys gonna make your way around?
Yeah.
Can I like quickly dive into my room and grab my books?
Yeah, you guys can grab your luggage and stuff like that if you want to.
Do we have any idea, based on how it's falling, and do we know how high we were before?
Like,
do
yeah, you would have been at very, you would have been extremely high altitude, like near kind of cloud level, kind of like plane kind of level.
Okay.
Given the time of night, and again, it's difficult for you to tell because you're an Arakrokra and you're used to flying, kind of feeling it out, you think maybe like 5-10 minutes before you hit like. If you hit, you might hit water, you're not quite sure where you are, you can't see, you might hit ocean, you might hit mountains, you could hit land, you don't know.
I don't know who Callie Starburn is, but we don't have time, we've got like not long left.
I'm putting my stuff on.
So while they're putting the stuff on, Ayla, you run round, you know, because you've been on the ship for a few days, you run past the galley where you've been taking your meals, and you go towards the stairs that lead up to the deck, and you see that the entire stairwell has collapsed inwards. Part of like a mast has fallen on it and smashed the floorboards down, but it is also on fire. You can see like flames are trickling and roaring through it. Cargo has fallen in. It's just a mess. Like it's a complete, you know, crush of debris. But you can see like little gaps, and you can see like some of the ship's crew wearing sort of like loose sailor's tunics, wielding like curved cutlasses. They're like fighting off similar kind of masked skull figures. And you can see occasionally hear like cracks of magic. You can hear kind of snaps and slices of weapons, steel upon steel.
Okay, I'll relay that back to the guys. Would I know if there was another way sort of off the ship from down here?
That's what I'm thinking too.
There is a boarding platform, which is at the bottom of the ship, but it would potentially just leave you into open sky. The captain or any of the crew would probably know more of the procedures for crashes. They don't do safety videos, unfortunately, on Skyships.
I suppose we'd know the captain. We'd know he's not.
You've met Falthea Elusendris. She's a high elf windmaster, a Skyship captain.
Yeah.
She's either in her quarters down below or she's on the top deck fighting.
Oh, damn.
Ayla, you just looked up. You just glanced up. You didn't see if you could see her specifically, but...
In our bedrooms, are there...
They're windows, ports. Yeah. There's portholes, yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you can go to one of those.
I'm going to run out.
Sentry, you got grippy hands, right? Could you grip onto the hull and maybe climb out of a hole?
I might be able...
Are you too big?
Is there a hole where Lucius...
Not a full hole, no. It kind of just scorched it. But Ayla saw that there are holes in this kind of crash stairwell that could go out. Or you could probably break a window. If you're thinking of sending Echo, you could probably smash one of these portholes and he could fly up and out.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll send Echo through.
Yeah. That makes far more sense.
Okay, so you go into a room.
It's a lot less dangerous.
Yes.
You smash that and you send Echo out. Just before you do that, anybody else doing anything? You see Arvel, the sister is currently tending to Arvel, like pulling out shards and things like that, but... He's obviously injured.
Can I go to the sister?
Yeah, she's currently tending on Arvel. She's like,
I'm just going to say, you know who they are.
I have heard the stories, yes.
Are they coming for your ward?
I don't know.
Who is she?
That is a longer story than we have time for. Myself and my fellow brother have been charged in taking her to Gusthaven. That's all I know without being able to spend time exacerbating the story. But yes, maybe, but I don't see why. She's just an orphan girl, one that we've been tasked to charge with. She may have some magical, latent magical power, but that's it.
Enough for the court to want her?
No, absolutely not. If this is indeed the Court of Shadows from the Dark War, then I have no idea why they are here. Are they after any of you? That was my first thought, is you're all a colourful bunch of travellers. Perhaps they're after one of you or something you have.
They might be after my business.
No.
You don't know my business. sorry, that was
very rude of me.
Looking inside, you see now you see a gentleman and a young woman. I do have miniatures for them. I can't find the other one. You see a fellow wearing the same kind of Siaska priest robes kind of step out, and you can see he's kind of got one arm round this kind of young girl's shoulder. She's now dressed. Looks like that in the commotion, she's just quickly put on some traveling clothes. They've both got bags. You can see they've got backpacks and satchels. He's like, Yusuf, what's going on? And she's like, Corin, I don't know. They were figures. Perhaps they were the Court of Shadows. I don't know, but we just need to keep her safe. And I think that we should stick with these travelers for now. They seem very competent. We should stick with them.
We're about to crash.
These guys are all talking a lot. So there's something downstairs, guys. Something was making some noise.
So at this point, we see Echo, and he flies up. So Echo kind of flies out, and the wind is almost throws him backwards. He kind of has to, like, he kind of, like, whooshes forward and upwards. And he kind of makes his way, and he kind of bobs up, very gently kind of, like, peeks up onto the deck. And he can see that there are already a ton of dead crew members, and perhaps only a few left fighting. You recognize a half-orc navigator covered in big tattoos, big burly arms, and he's just got these two heavy maces, and he's just like smashing into like two of these guys fighting. Yep. And then the captain is actually at the back of the ship, near where the stairs would lead up, by the wheel. She's got one hand on this wheel, and you can see these power lines are feeding into a core crystal at the center of the wheel, and they're kind of flowing down her veins, almost like she's channeling magic into it. And she's got a rapier in one hand, and she's like parrying and like fending one of them off. And she's just like, keep it going, Reefbreaker. We've got to keep this thing from falling, from nosediving and stuff like that. And you can see like this all going on. There does seem to be one of these figures. He's got the same almost identical outfit, but he's actually carrying a physical greatsword. And he's just stood at the back gesturing. And you can hear like,
enough, stop playing with them, kill them now.
Okay. And like some of the others are like rushing up and trying to fight them and things like that. But he's avoiding the combat so far.
Okay, cool. But not cool.
I am suddenly, even though I'm panicking quite a lot, I'm trying to stay as calm as possible and thinking about any stories of airships crashing and where the safest place to be in that situation is.
Give me just a straight up intelligence check. So D20 plus intelligence modifier.
D20, that's 16 plus 1, so 17.
17. Yeah, you would probably, you were once a messenger guild. You trained to be in the messenger guild. Yeah. And as part of that, you would have done a lot of, you know, training with airship crews. You would have delivered messages or couriered, you know, packages to airships. And you probably would have spoken to a few captains. There is always safety measures. There are normally things called glide cloths, which are basically like parachutes. They're enchanted ethereum cloth that you can use to basically slowly descend. They're kind of like, they're deployed almost like a little harness.
Yeah.
They'll be secured somewhere on the ship. If you did have to crash, you'd probably be best off where you are, securing yourself in the galley and finding ways to just strap yourselves in so you're not thrown around. Because one of the worst things is debris crushing you or like things falling on top of you and things like that.
Right. Does anyone have any plans? Because I think this might be a crash situation.
No. What are you talking about, Eric?
Well, I don't want to alarm anyone, but I think this might hit the ground and potentially kill everyone aboard.
The young girl for the first time speaks and she's like, I think telling us that the ship is about to crash is pretty alarming in the first place.
Okay, she's right. Well, don't worry. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Technically,
we're going to crash.
Technically speaking, we are in the safest area. If we just find our way to secure ourselves so that when we crash, we're not hit by debris, we're probably going to land in water depending on where we were in the air flight. It's fine. Just go in the galley, find somewhere safe, strap yourself in.
Okay, I'm
going
to run.
There's still fighting going on up there.
Well, there won't be once we crash.
How are we going to get up there? There's, I don't know, can we break our way through? You have a hammer.
If we go up, are you going on Echo, or do you want to come bring him back?
I can bring Echo down, then I can relay the information to these guys and being like, cool, so the captain and the
first mate
are up there fighting.
How many are
knowing up there? We need to help them so we can get the ship safe. I'm going to start going back right here. Does it look like I can start smashing this?
So the fire has gotten more intense and is now starting to spread.
Anyone
outwards.
Got water?
I have ice.
Ice? Okay.
The fire is now beginning to kind of creep
skip
out.
Skip along.
Looking up. So you turn around the corner and it's like blazing flames. You can see that the large mast
is enormous. It's maybe like 10-foot diameter, and it's smashed through where the stairs were, and it's just basically crushed the entirety of the stairs and filled it in with debris.
Can I try and, like, Eldritch Blast a hole through the roof?
Sure. Just straight up? You don't need to roll to hit. Just roll damage for me.
So it's a d10, isn't it?
Yeah. You miss.
Is that a one?
Yeah,
that's a one.
As you blast it upwards, it hits the wood and you see it scorch and mark. It seems incredibly tough. But you would kind of, as you blast it, most airships have ethereum infused wood, which is lighter and stronger than like most stuff. Mm. The fact that the stairs have collapsed, it must have been such a weight from this mast falling that it's basically, shattered it.
I think this is out of my skill set. It's quite a lot of fire. And I have tiny knives. I saw it. I went into Arva's body.
Judging by the rate of fire and knowing what this ship is made out of, I don't think this is gonna get through anytime soon. I'm just still like...
I believe we either need to brace for
impact. There's gotta be some other way off this thing.
We could go down.
Down.
There's something down there.
There might be some,
we can
cloth.
See.
Gliding cloth.
Gliding cloth, that's the one.
Yes.
Sails?
Sails? No, that's up...
enchanted
downstairs.
Cloth.
Enchanted cloth, downstairs.
You can hear it, can you? Can you hear?
Hear what?
Can you hear the thing that's down there?
Well, you're passive, yeah. You can hear, like... In fact, actually, I would say that you just barely hear this kind of, like... this heavy breathing.
Does it sound like before the same thing?
Yeah. No, it doesn't sound like a humanoid. It's like
something else, though.
Oh. What?
But it's like it's moving around down there. Like it fades out because you've got such you're so good at hearing and things like that like you're kind of listening and it kind of drifts away and then it comes back. And it drifts away.
I was like, well. I mean, I just don't want to stand around here and do nothing if this ship's crashing. I've got my merchandise, and I'm not losing out on my business.
Correct. Daddy would be so pissed.
What is your merchandise? Does it
light,
have to be a big monster?
No.
Okay.
You can send light, can't you?
Not meaning to alarm anyone.
Yes.
Send it down.
Okay.
I coalesce dancing lights.
Okay.
Which is four torch-sized lights.
Okay.
And I'm going to just...
So we'll, like, stagger them, like...
Doo, yeah, doo, doo, doo. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
And then spread them out.
So for a brief flicker, Quill, who happens to be stood there...
10-foot radius, each one.
Such high passive perception. The lights go down, and you see, for a second, the flicker of a large, kind of made from metal and crystal, but the metal is dark like the night, like almost blackened metal. This kind of steel jaw and this panther-like body kind of like very briefly touches the edge of the light, seems to realize what it is, and then into the darkness.
What would I need to make a roll to recognize anything like that?
Give me a Arcana check.
Okay, Arcana, that's an unnatural 20. I rolled that.
Unnatural 20.
Unnatural.
You have heard of some creatures like this. I mean, obviously, Sentry is a guardian who is a construct. And after the guardians, the knowledge of how to build guardians was lost, there's been a lot of attempts to create constructs and similar things before. It's some sort of golem. You're not really sure what, though. Like, it's clearly made of metal. You don't think it's like a living creature. It's some sort of construct or a golem. You've heard of them sometimes, like, you've heard kind of stories that, like, in parts of the lowlands where there is a lot of what they call remnant activity, these kind of, like, last vestiges of the Dark War, there are these kind of creatures that stalk the night and snatch people away.
Sentry?
Hello.
There's a big... it's like you, if it looked monstrous and big and had teeth. Do you know what that is? Also... what are you doing on here with us?
I can't see anything.
Can I do like a perception check on it? I've still got Quill's D4 to add to my ability check as well.
Would Nova know anything from her?
Seeing as it's a cantrip, you could just cast guidance again.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Would Nova know anything from? Like,
you can make an Arcana check. And it would be, you can make, do you want to try and just see it, or do
that
you want to try and remember information about it?
I'll try and remember information.
That would be a history check.
History check.
And I'll give you advantage, because of your circumstance.
Cool.
So you can roll twice and take the highest.
I'm going to roll D20 again.
Goodbye.
17 is pretty good, but see if you get anything higher. 17. 17.
Yeah.
Plus you the 4 from guidance. Oh, you already had the D4. So yeah, so 4. So add 4 to the 17.
Okay.
21. And plus then your
history bonus.
And my history bonus is minus 1. So it's 23.
Okay. Well, still high.
Still good enough.
23. You remember designs of Starbane and his forces. One of his commanders, these kind of demigod commanders, loved to tinker and create, and was kind of inspired by the Guardians to create his own soldiers for the enemy. And they created these things called Stalkers. And they sound pretty similar, made from black metal and crystal, but they have almost powers of the night, where if they're in darkness, their predatory instincts are stronger. They can also kind of drain the life of people around them. They can kind of send out this pulse and to drain life around them. And they're pretty vicious. You kind of have, they were kind of created very near the end of the war, kind of similar time when you were. Cool. Yeah. You probably would never have fought one, but you definitely heard of them.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd want to get these guys out of the way.
Okay. So yeah, what'd you do? Like come over and...
I'd come over and take a defensive stance in front of them and just let them know, guys, this is a bad situation for you guys. You need to be really careful.
Maybe we don't go in there.
Yeah. Just to... Sentry, do you know if that thing would survive, let's say, for example, an airship crashing into the ground?
I would assume not.
That's okay, we can stay here. I'm going to go buckle myself up. See you later.
But it quite potentially, it wouldn't be enough to destroy me, maybe, so I feel like maybe they would survive.
Oh.
So, at this point, what would you all like to do?
I'm running to the bedroom, and I'm going to ice myself to the floor.
Okay, so you're going to go take... You're going to basically...
Under the bed.
So, is my understanding... Well, what do you want to do? Because you want to fight stuff.
I want to try and smash up to the deck somehow, but there's no other way to get up other than this that I know of. Mm-hmm. There's no other stairways that we know of that go up under
these
the
ships are pretty
deck.
Slim, and they're kind of built to be kind of quick and speedy.
And you've seen me try and blast through the roof.
There's no way to go up.
The only way it seems you could go, it's like potentially there might be these, there's the platform and the glide cloths down. But there is also this beast. What would you like to do?
Can we take it? We can try.
Arvel's like, that's my kind of talk.
Well,
we can sit here and hope to die.
We're
probably
going to die anyway.
Yeah,
I'm with the elf.
No, we're not. I'm like at my door and I turn around like, we can take... No, oh, Sentry, please.
Look, Arvel turns around and he's like, none of y'all need to come this way. I don't know none of you, but if... Listen, lady, Ayla, was it?
Yeah.
If you want to go down there, I'm with you. I'd rather go down fighting than stay up here and die by being crushed to death.
I get on an airship once and it freaking crashes.
It's the safest way to fly.
This is bullshit. And I'm going out fighting.
Statistically, they are quite safe.
Thank you.
But listen, well, I'm game.
I could use your help.
Out of interest, how long has it been?
Minutes.
Okay. I don't think
how
I've been
crashy panty. Are we feeling?
Yeah.
It's been a few minutes.
How crashed does the ship look?
You can still feel like it listing and like, yeah. You're not sure.
Why are we fighting?
You have no idea.
So the glide cloths are like where this.
We don't know if there is any.
Okay.
It's a risk. I mean, I'm not willing to take.
You haven't seen anything like that on this level. You've not really gone down to the bottom level because it's mainly for storage and the crew.
Which is where it might be.
If that's
the only
where
way
the,
to go.
That's also where the platform is, where the kind of like launch, what's it called? Launch
ladder.
Bay. I don't know what it's called.
Bay doors.
Bay doors.
Cargo.
Cargo bay. Yeah.
Nice.
Millennium Falcon.
I guess I'd quite like to sketch it. If you
that's the Spirit Nova, just, sketch it.
Yeah, I'll
just later.
I'll just get
later.
Sketch it. No, if you fight it, I'll sketch it.
Sketch it later,
I'm gonna, like,
Nova.
Whisper in her ear, just like big teeth, really big teeth. Maybe
the sister.
I'm literally gonna start like.
The sister gestures. She looks to the other two. She's just like, Corin, take her and strap yourselves into the galley. If we find anything, I will come back and get you. But do not risk coming down if I do not come back for you. I will go with them. Try and aid my healing if I can. And she's gonna come in behind you as well.
Panther-like, you say?
Oh, yes, very.
Okay. I'm going to take the pen out of Nova's hand.
So,
I'm doing a courage check.
Darling.
Okay.
Whatever. What
do you make it? I reckon that would be a wisdom saving throw. Wisdom saving throws versus fear, generally.
15.
Oh, that's in it. Yeah.
Daddy would approve.
It's for you, Daddy.
I would also say Lucius might have the thought of, he's not sure if these people, if they do kill it and get these parachutes, you're not sure if they would actually come and give you one.
Okay, that's going probably on. Under the
surface. Yeah.
So, Ayla, you are leading the way. So just give me a descending order here, so I know who's going down in the
crew. Well, this guy's
he's dead.
I'm actually next to Nova.
Arvel.
Sorry.
All right. So Arvel. So Ayla, Arvel, Sentry, Quill, Nova, Lucius, and then Sister Yusuf at the back.
She could be next to me, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys descend down. We're not going to be using the map cam anymore, Steve. If you want to turn that off to the character portraits, you descend down into a large black space. And you can see that this large dark... I mean, for those of you who don't have dark vision, it is near pitch black. There are no portholes. There's no light naturally coming in here. The dancing lights, they give off very dim, like 10 feet radius kind of light.
There's four of them. Four lights. Spread them out.
So he kind of spreads them out, and you watch these kind of hovering, I guess, like blue, orange, and different colored globes. And they're spreading this kind of multicolored light, but it's over a large area and they're so dim that there are all these elongated shadows. You see like big stacks, most of which have fallen over, but these kind of create these like large piles of cargo. Rigging, like wood, like roped rigging, kind of hanging down, hammocks. And you begin making your way down there, and it's, for those of you who don't have dark vision, you're struggling to see. Those of you who do just see these kind of shapes. And maybe you just catch glimpses of, like, movement, and then it's gone. You look that way again, it's not there. And then suddenly, from behind you, you almost begin to hear this movement. But nothing jumps out at you immediately.
May I suggest, I heard that these things don't like light, or at least they come out in the dark.
You got a torch?
No.
I got nothing.
This is what I've got.
I'm going to surround us with the dancing lights.
Sister Yusuf is like, I can provide a bit more. And she gestures to the holy symbol and this silvery light, but again, it's just around you guys. Like, it's kind of creating like a, you know, Gandalf in the Mines of Moria. Like,
yeah, can I have one, like, a dancing light at the front of the party, sides and
back? You're just continuously shifting them, like,
moving them around us.
So you watch as you begin making your way, and then you're kind of stumbling through the dark. You're kind of, Ayla's leading you around, like, these piles of, like, these piles of wooden boxes, storage barrels, and then you see bodies. You begin to see the other crew members, the ones that were sleeping, just torn apart and shredded. And you can see blood kind of pooling out and staining the Ethereum wood. And then at the very back of the room, you can see kind of slatted storeroom, of which you can see hung up these kind of like leather harnesses. And then just as you begin taking the movement, something large and predatory springs out of the darkness. And that's where we're going to take a break.
Oh! Oh, boy!
Thanks for listening to the High Rollers podcast. Don't forget to check out our next episode, and please do rate us on iTunes.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.